This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is now a beautiful day to be in the house of God, worshiping together, and I'm so glad to welcome all of you here. I'm especially glad to welcome you if this is your first time worshiping at West End United Methodist Church. We're very glad that you're here and hope you have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you and that you feel the Spirit of God moving in this place. We have an opportunity to greet one another at the passing of the peace and then also at the end of the service. So that's a wonderful way to meet a new friend today. All of us are invited to sign in. We have registration pads that are at the center aisle, and we pass those down the row. And if you would sign in and let us know you were here. If you are visiting with us and would share an email address or a mailing address, that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love as a community of faith. Just a few announcements for us as we gather this morning. Most of them are opportunities to serve. We've gotten the good news that due to an overwhelming response to Vacation Bible School and Mission Week, we need more volunteers. Our kindergarten and first grade group is so large that we need to create two different classes, which means we need two more adults and two more youth for volunteering, and that is a great problem, not a problem, to have. So if you would be willing to serve, that's the week of June 25th through 29th, and it's 9 to 12 each day. It would be a great way to get to know some of our children in this community. The West End Bedrock Belief t-shirts are here, so if you signed up and purchased one of those, they're available in Reed Hall. We invite you to wear it to church on the last Sunday of June. That is the weekend that we'll be having the Nashville Pride Parade, and for 20 years, we at West End have shared God's unconditional love at that parade, and we always have a booth there. We need volunteers also to staff that booth, so there's more information in the insert if you want to contact Brian Roberts about helping to staff that booth on that weekend. Also, we support Project Transformation, which is a summer program for children in our community. There's more information in the insert about collections that we're making for items and also opportunities to go and read with the kids. So many, many opportunities to serve this summer, and hope you will take advantage of some of those. Finally, I just wanted to say that my sermon title is not TBD. I didn't want you to be afraid that I'm just going to get up here and wing it. It was printed in the 845 bulletin, but it somehow didn't get in the 11. But the title of the sermon is Be Careful What You Ask For. So I will leave the rest for you to discover in the course of the service of worship. But we are here to worship God, and God has come before us already and has prepared the way. So let us prepare our hearts and minds to meet God in this time of worship.
Come, ye that love the Lord, and let your love be known. Join in a song of sweet accord, and bless around the throne, and bless around the throne.
our brothers and sisters in faith. And God's love expressed through Jesus Christ. And the lives we are called to live. We come seeking the strength to carry on in our journey. We are a people of worth and value. When we honestly acknowledge the shame in our lives, there is possibility of transformation and healing. Let us acknowledge our sin together. God of love, in the wrong we have done and in the good we have not done, we have sinned in ignorance, we have sinned in weakness, we have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us and renew our lives. God the Creator brings you new life, forgives you, and redeems you. Take hold of this forgiveness and live your life in the Spirit of Christ. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Shelton and Lee Harrell bring their son, Sebrit Lee Harrell III, and their daughter, Perry Lee Harrell, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Shelton and Lee, I ask you on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My brothers and sisters, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, will you say, "We do"? And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given this child? Perry Lee Harrell. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we're all going to place a hand on Perry Lee and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in her life. Perry Lee, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, now Miss Perry is going to Reverend Brandon. And now we're going to take, I don't know, big brother or little brother?
Little brother.
Little brother.
Is it the big brother?
But he is bigger, isn't he? And what name have you given this child?
Sebrit Lee Harrell III.
Sebrit Lee Harrell III. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we're all going to place a hand on Sebrit Lee and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sebrit Lee, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, now we're going to go walk and meet your church family. Siebert Lee and Perry Lee, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And these are the friends who are going to teach you all about God's love for you and how beloved you truly are. They're going to teach you the songs of the faith and the words of the Bible, and they're going to go out with you and serve the world. So we invite you now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to stand and welcome these two new friends to the faith.
Members of the household of God, I commend to you Siebert Lee and Perry Lee to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Siebert Lee and Perry Lee, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. And the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us so that we may also be like other nations and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Samuel said to the people, "Come, let's go to Gilgal and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord. And there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. The word of God for the people of God.
To be seated, and any children who would like to come forward. It's great to see all of y'all this morning. I have a collection of hats. Actually, it's my son's collection of hats. But the ones I've picked to show you today are ones that show you what I love and what I am loyal to. So, being from Nashville, I'm a big, what is this? The Preds, the Nashville Predators. I'm a big fan of the Predators, very loyal to the Predators. I see Noah shaking his head. He must not be. I went to college at Duke University. Go Blue Devils. A lot of not fans here, but I am a Blue Devil, and I always cheer for them, especially basketball. Even if you play basketball, you should watch Duke play. They're really good. Also, I am a citizen of the state of Tennessee. You recognize this? These are the three stars from the Tennessee flag for West, Middle, and East Tennessee. So I am a proud citizen of the state of Tennessee. And you know we have July 4th coming up. I'm also a citizen of the United States of America. And I'm very proud to be an American. I'm very grateful to be part of this country. So those are some of the hats I wear, some of the teams that I cheer for. But you know what? Even more important than all of these groups or teams or whatever, more important than anything else, I am a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And that is so much more important than all these other things. And I have to be loyal to God first and foremost. So, you know, sometimes, if you watch a Duke basketball game, sometimes the fans aren't very nice. And they may say some things that are mean. And so I have to think, now would God want me to say those things? I don't think so. So I have to listen to God first and foremost. So that's always a good reminder that above everything else, we are God's children. Let's pray together. Gracious and holy God, we thank you so much for loving us. You are love, and that is what is most important in our lives. So above everything else, help us to love you and be loyal to you and live out your love every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. And if you have any fun hats you want to show me, come to my office and show me. I am a proud citizen of Nashville, Tennessee. And even though I'm almost a native Nashvillian, I'm not a huge fan of country music. Sorry to say, it's never quite been my style of music, but there are some songs I really love and certain really famous songs that I know well. One of those songs, I'm wondering if you've ever heard it, is a Garth Brooks hit. It's called "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." It tells the story of when he and his wife went to a football game at his old high school, and he ran into his old flame. He talks about how he used to pray that he could marry that old flame, but now as he stands there with his wife, he's glad that God never answered that prayer, which sounds a lot worse than it really is in the song, but thank God for unanswered prayers. I thought about that song as I read the story from Samuel this week. As you may know, we're spending the summer going through the books of Samuel and hearing the stories of the prophet Samuel and King David and all those wonderful stories. And what we have in this moment, in this story, is the people asking for something that God knows they don't need. They come to Samuel and they ask for a king. Give us a king. We want a king. And God, in that moment, out of God's love for them, gives them the freedom to choose what they want. Even though God warns them that it's not going to turn out well, they get what they ask for, and it doesn't turn out well. But before we go any further in this story, let me back up a little bit. In case you haven't heard the story before, or you've heard it but you don't remember it very well, or where it fits into the big, big story, let me fill in some of those blanks. We know that way back in the book of Exodus, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, had lived together in the land of Egypt. And there was a Pharaoh who began to oppress them. They knew what it was like to live under a king. This Pharaoh had oppressed them and eventually put them all into slavery. And they had lived for centuries in bondage in Egypt. So they've had some experience with an earthly king. But in time, God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. God raised up Moses, who confronted the king and led them out toward the promised land. Because of their own lack of faith, they didn't go immediately into the promised land, but they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's the first part of the Old Testament is telling that story. But God used that time with God's people to show them God's nature. God fed them food and provided water for them. God gave them the law and instructions, teaching them how to treat one another, how to worship God, how to place God at the center of their lives and their community. You shall have no other gods before me, God taught them. And God instructed them on how to care for the poor and the widows and the orphans and the vulnerable in their midst. God gave them this vision of covenant community. And this, it seems, is what God's will for them was always, that they would be so guided by their relationship with God, so guided by the laws and the teachings of God, that they would treat each other with dignity, that all people would be cared for, and there would be no need for a king or a government. And for a while, after they moved into the Promised Land, they lived without a king. In the book of Judges, we hear about this era where from time to time there was a leader who would rise up, usually when they were being attacked from the outside by the Philistines or some other group. And the leader would rise up and defend them against their enemies, and all would be well and go back to living in peace. There was one of those judges you may have heard of, Gideon, probably one of the best known. And he had led the people in a battle, and they were victorious. And at that moment, the people came to Gideon and said, "Be our king. We want you to be our king." But Gideon understood the will of God and said to them, "I will not be your king, nor will my sons or my daughters be your kings or queens. The Lord alone is our king." And so they went along for a few more generations. And then we come to the book of Samuel. God raised up Samuel. We heard the story last week of how God called the young boy Samuel to become a leader among the people, a prophet, first and foremost, who would guide the people. But there came a time late in Samuel's life when the leaders of the people came to Samuel and said, "We don't want you anymore, and we don't want your sons to lead us. We want a king." And they gave their reasons. "We want to be like all the other nations around us." You can almost hear, "All the other nations have a king. We want a king. And not only that, we want someone who will go out and fight our battles for us." It's almost as if the people just got tired of the hard work it took to live in covenant community. It was just too much trouble to try and live in mutuality and justice and peace and keep all that together. Just give us a king who will tell us what to do and fight our battles for us. And so God grants what they ask for, but not without warning them first. God tells Samuel to warn the people what it will be like to have a king. And did you hear that description from the scripture text this morning? Did you hear how many times the word "take" was said? A king will take your sons and make them run before his chariots. The king will take your daughters and make them perfumers and bakers. The king will take 10% of your crops and your goods. The king will take. The king is going to be all about the king, God says. Not about the good of the people. Not the keeper of the covenant of the people. And you will find yourselves once again in slavery. And we see this prophecy fulfilled in the generations to come. As we get through the book of Kings, we see these kings who are all about their own power and their own wealth and have begun to oppress the people and worship other gods that are not God. Nevertheless, God grants them what they ask for. And we read this ancient story. And I don't know about you, but I can see this story and see us, see myself. We see these elders of the people wanting to take God and God's vision of who they're called to be and set it aside and replace it with a king, replace it with something else that they want. We all do that, don't we? Each one of us has within us a God-sized hole, as some theologian has said. And we spend our lives trying to fill that void with other things that are not God, whether it be wealth and success and power or drugs, alcohol, addiction, whatever it may be. We try to fill that hole with something that is not God, and we suffer the consequences of that. And there's a word for that. It's called idolatry. So we do that, each one of us in our own ways individually. But what I'm interested in looking at this morning is how we do that sometimes as a people. This is the people of God choosing a different king that is not God. As I shared with the children, we have different loyalties that we claim, different groups that we're part of, and how easy it is for us to replace God with those loyalties and to forget that we belong first and foremost and above all to God. How is it that we do that? Across the centuries, God has given us a vision of who we're called to be. In these early days, it was the covenant that God gave the people at Sinai. And then in the fullness of time, when Jesus came among us, everywhere Jesus went, the kingdom of God was erupting. There was God's peace and God's justice and God's way that was very different from the ways of the world. The past few weeks, I spent with the Cokesbury Sunday School class looking at Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And we were looking how in that early church, we can see in Corinthians and Paul's letter to the Galatians that it was based on this bedrock belief that all are one in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Galatians, we are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer male and female, no longer these hierarchies that we have in the world. We are all one in Christ. And the church struggled to live that out, to figure out how to be the body of Christ when standing at the table, there was a slave and a free person, a man and a woman, rich and poor. How were they called to live that out in the Roman Empire? They struggled with it. And over time, those hierarchies and those labels and those worldly ways of being came to replace the God who had given them the vision of this oneness. In the early days of the Methodist movement, we were looking at that this morning in Sunday school. The Methodists were a mixed bag of mostly poor folk. And over time, as the movement developed and grew into an institution, it became a little bit more of a hierarchy. That's human nature. That's what happens. And so when we, as the people of God, have a loyalty to our country, to our denomination, to whatever it is easy for that loyalty to become blind and for us to forget that above all, we are the people of God. So how do we live that out in the world? What does that look like for us as a church, as disciples of Jesus, to have God at the center of our covenant community and not to allow all these other things to take God's place, well and good though they may be? One thing that's helpful to me in these stories from the books of Samuel is to look to the prophet. The role of the prophet. Every time there is a king, there is also a prophet. A prophet who is loyal to the people, who seeks the well-being of God's people and the witness of God's people in the world. A prophet who is often loyal to the king and wants the king to be who God is calling him to be. But a prophet who is not afraid of the king, a prophet over whom the king does not have power, and a prophet who is willing to speak the truth to the king and hold him accountable. We see Samuel doing that with Saul. In a few weeks, we'll see the prophet Nathan doing that to David. And down the road in the book of Kings, were we to continue, we would see Elisha and Elijah preaching God's word to the king and to the people, reminding them of who they are called to be. So maybe that's our role in the world today. Yes, wherever we are born into a system of government. We're born into different institutions and different cultures. But above all, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And it is our job to go out into the world and speak for God, to hold our leaders accountable, to speak truth, and to know where our loyalties ultimately lie. And that may look different for all of us. But it is my joy and privilege and responsibility as we gather here every Sunday to remind us all that in this place we are citizens of the kingdom of God, first and foremost. There's good news in this story. As the people ask for a king and God grants them their wish, God does not then say, "Well, I'm out. Good luck with that." No, God continues to offer them a prophet. God continues to stay involved in who they choose as a king, especially with the choice of David. God remains with God's people, working always for God's kingdom. And therein lies our hope, my friends. We go out into this world to be the prophets, to speak God's word, to be God's people, and to know that it is God who has empowered us and claimed us as God's people.
It is our privilege each week as the people of God to be able to speak the words of creeds that help us put into words our belief that it is indeed God who reigns over all of our lives. And so I would invite you, as you are able, to stand and speak the words of our affirmation of faith found today on number 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you. As you fill those out, you may indicate whether your prayer request should be shared or should remain confidential. And you can place those cards in the offering plates in a few moments as they are passed down the pews. This morning, we remember Jane Lawrence Stone, who passed away Saturday, June 2nd. A memorial service for her will be held at West End on Friday, June 15th at 11 o'clock a.m. in the sanctuary. And visitation will follow the service in Reed Hall. We also remember today Virginia Holliday, who passed away on Monday, June 4th. A celebration of life service was held on June 9th at the Blakeford. Today, our sympathy is also with Joel and Emily Long in the death of their infant daughter, Helen James Long, on Tuesday, June 5th. Services will be held later this week at West End United Methodist. And finally, this week, we want to lift up the fact that leaders from this church, both lay and clergy, and leaders from across our conference, the Tennessee Conference of the United Methodist Church, will be gathering together for our annual conference. And so we want to lift all of those people up as they deliberate and make decisions about our future as a United Methodist people here in the Tennessee Conference. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we come before you this morning in humble prayer. As we open our minds and hearts to your presence in this place, we remember that you are the one who reigns over our lives and all of creation. Grant that we would be people who turn to you for guidance and protection, for comfort and strength, and for wisdom and mercy. May we know the power of your perfect love to shape this world, and may we trust fully in your ways. Help us not to put our ultimate trust in worldly powers and leaders, but to look to you as our greatest hope and salvation. May divine grace guide our every step. Yes, Almighty Lord, we need your grace, for while you are the divine light that rules over us all, you have given us agency as well, and we know we have the capacity to wield power and act freely. So we pray that your Spirit would empower all persons to seek compassion and justice for their neighbors and enemies. Savior of the world, this week in particular, we are acutely aware of the tenuous balance between war and peace, oppression and freedom, and life and death. We pray this Sunday for those world leaders who will come together to seek peace on the Korean Peninsula that has so long been divided by tension and violence. May the wisdom of your love of enemy prevail. In this LGBTQ Pride Month, we pray for those persons who continue to struggle for dignity and equality in society and the church. May the truth of your love of neighbor prevail. In this week, when we are reminded of the tragedy of depression and mental illness that takes many lives too soon, may we remember your everlasting love for us as we boldly and unashamedly ask for help in our times of need. Lord, we pray these things as we lift up other persons and places on our hearts and minds in a time of silent prayer. Confident that you indeed are the ruler of life, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us give our tithes and offerings to the glory of God's kingdom.
people on a journey. The journey is our home. May we go out into this world carrying the love and compassion and justice of God, that this world may look more like God's kingdom. And that will bring us joy and peace. Amen.